I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Justin Richmond, host of the Broken Record Podcast. Join me along with co-host Leah Rose as we sit down with the artists you love to get unparalleled creative insight. You'll hear revealing interviews with some of the most legendary figures in music like Paul Simon, Usher, Pete Townsend, Damon Albarn of the Gorillaz, and Missy Elliott. And you'll hear from up-and-comers like jazz artist Leve, who told me about her fast rise to fame during the pandemic. Listen to Broken Record on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The economy is a top issue for Americans heading into this presidential election, with the majority of Americans believing and feeling like they were better off under Donald Trump than they are now under Joe Biden. So what is fueling that? You know, what is fueling this inflation that we're seeing in this country as well? And how does Trump's economy stack up against Joe Biden's? We're going to ask EJ and Tony, a research fellow for the Heritage Foundation. He's also a public finance economist, about all of this. Also get his take on younger voters under 30 going for Trump. How much of that has to do with increased home costs and just this economy at large? Also, we're going to get into something that's not being discussed as much. Joe Biden's job numbers being fueled by immigrants. All of that and more with the Heritage's EJ and Tony. Well, EJ, thanks for coming back on. It's nice to have you on the show.
Oh, Lisa, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me again.
So I don't think the economic news has gotten any better, but we'll get into it nonetheless. You know, we see that inflation is up 3.5% over last year. You know, overall prices are up 19.4% since Joe Biden took office. How has that impacted Americans?
It's been pretty devastating, Lisa, especially when you factor in not just the price increases, but now also the interest rate increases. And the reason I bring that second piece up is because so many people had to adapt to these higher prices by either going out and getting more work, or if they couldn't, if they weren't able to make enough to have ends meet, then they still had to go into debt after depleting their savings. So now with that additional debt load, these higher interest rates have caused the cost of servicing that debt. In other words, your monthly finance charges on things like your credit card statements to absolutely explode. American families today are paying about $250 billion a year just in interest on their credit cards. That's just one type of debt, and it's just the interest. We're not talking about paying down the principal. So you combine these higher prices with higher prices, I should say, that have risen faster than wages, with these higher interest costs, and you're looking at, for the typical American family, about an $8,000 loss compared to January of 2021. In other words, in a little more than 3 years, you feel like you're $8,000 poorer a year.
You know, as we head into the 2024 election, even, you know, more as it starts to accelerate as we get closer, you see that the economy is a top issue for Americans. Joe Biden's upside down on the issue. There's been polling showing that the majority of Americans feel like they were better off under Trump than they are now under Biden. I guess, how would you compare the two economies, the one we had under Trump and then the one we have now under Joe Biden?
Well, I think you have to look at how the typical American was doing. And you saw wages for good paying blue collar jobs rising much faster than prices under President Trump. And you've seen exactly the opposite under Biden. You saw the cost to own a home relative to the size of people's incomes go down under Trump. It has exploded under Biden. You know, you mentioned those inflation statistics at the start of the show. I mean, one of the things that is grossly understated in those inflation numbers is the cost to own a home. According to the Consumer Price Index, that cost is up about 20% over the last 3 years. But if you actually use real world data instead of their crazy methodology, so look at home prices, look at interest rates, look at things like property taxes, home insurance rates, et cetera, you find that the actual cost is up somewhere between 80 and 100%. In other words, 4 to 5 times what the quote unquote official government metric says. And so not only do the statistics look better under Trump compared to Biden, but I think the real world experience that Americans have was way better under Trump than under Biden. And Lisa, I think that helps explain why, even though the economic numbers have improved at least slightly the last several months, maybe under Biden, they are the polling that when you ask folks, okay, how do you feel about the economy? It remains horrible. And it's because people's lived experience has been horrible, much worse than the official data would suggest.
You know, we're seeing Trump do much better with voters under 30. I think in part personally, just because a lot of young people are realizing, you know, what is my future if, you know, this economy continues the way that it is now? You had mentioned the increased cost of what it takes to own a home. What's behind that? You know, what do you think's driving that?
It's this deadly combination of very high home prices and very high interest rates. Now, I should say, you know, historically, if we were to ask our grandparents or our great grandparents, what do you think of a 7 or 8% mortgage? They would have said, yeah, that's normal. But we've gotten used to these artificially low interest rates that the Fed has imposed for, you know, 20, 25 years. And so this is a shock to the system, if you will. But basically, Lisa, when the government went out and spent trillions of dollars it didn't have, it caused inflation. That caused prices to rise everywhere. But because the Fed had kept rates so low, close to zero, it meant that people could continuously bid up the price of homes and pay almost nothing in interest each month. So all they were having to pay in that monthly payment was the price of the home. So you caused home prices to go up much faster than the average price. Then the Fed imposes higher rates to deal with the inflation that it helped cause. So now you have this combination of high rates and high prices, which means your monthly mortgage payment has gone through the roof. But if you look at what's happened with people who already owned a home, or who got a home, I should say, in, let's say, 2020 or even 2021, when rates were rock bottom, but before home prices went up, if you sell that home today, you want to move, let's say maybe you have a job offer to go somewhere else, you now are going to lose that mortgage and you have to get a new mortgage at today's mortgage rates, which means you need to sell your home at a huge premium in order to have a big enough down payment to have a small enough mortgage that counteracts the higher mortgage rates. So this means that the supply of existing homes has been severely crunched. At the same time, these high input costs from the inflation have caused the construction cost to build a home to also go through the roof. And those higher prices have really also put a damper on construction of new homes. So you're getting this double whammy where the supply of existing homes or used homes and the supply of new homes have both come way down. And so this has severely hamstrung the market to the point where prices just can't come down, even though interest rates remain really high. So at the end of the day, if you were to summarize all of that in a single word, unaffordability.
Joe Biden's announced that he's going to cancel student loan debt for 23 million people, which really just means the rest of us are paying for it. What do you think Joe Biden's going to try to do? One, to sort of buy votes like he's doing with that, but also to try to like boost the economy temporarily. You know, what sort of tools do you think he's going to use? You know, kind of what does that look like to you?
Well, listening to him today at that just horrendous excuse for a press conference where he was literally reading the questions and the answers off pre-prepared note cards. It was appalling. But then he has the audacity to say that, oh, the Fed's still going to cut rates. Who are you? You don't set monetary policy. Or maybe he does, and we just don't know it. But whatever the case, I think it's very clear they are exerting a tremendous amount of pressure on the Fed to cut rates before the election, to try to give exactly that economic boost you were just talking about, Lisa, to try to, you know, put lipstick on the pig before the election. And then after the first Tuesday in November, it doesn't matter then. Then they can hike rates back up again. Then we can find out that the jobs numbers were all a lie all along, that inflation has been much worse than we were told, right? They just have to get through Election Day at this point.
I mean, how much lipstick can you put on the pig in this instance?
That's a great question. I mean, if you ask the folks in the White House, they think the sky's the limit. But I think the average American is really seeing through it. I think they've seen through it for quite a while now. You know, lying to people and telling folks, don't believe your lying eyes, don't believe your empty wallets. I mean, that only works for so long. And I think we're past that point. You know, there was just I think it was on MSNBC. I didn't watch it because I like preserving my brain cells, but I saw it reviewed by a different news outlet where there was this panel of voters, all of whom voted for Biden, and now all of whom are saying for purely economic reasons, they refuse to do so again because they have just been hurt so dramatically by the failed public policies of this administration.
Quick break. More with EJ and Tony on the other side.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Justin Richmond, host of the Broken Record Podcast. Join me and co-host Leah Rose for in-depth creative conversations with the artists you love. Over the past 5 years, we've interviewed some of the most legendary figures in music, like Paul Simon, Pharrell, Damon Albarn, Andre 3000, and Usher. And you'll hear from rock icons like Pete Townsend, who shares wild stories about his formative years with The Who, and Johnny Marr, the legendary guitarist and co-founder of The Smiths, who has an unwavering devotion to his craft. Or the stories behind the legendary hits Babyface wrote for Whitney Houston and Madonna, plus how he collaborates with the new generation of R&B stars like Kehlani and Doechii. Listen to Broken Record on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One big issue that doesn't get discussed as much is Biden's job growth in the country being fueled by migrants. What should people know about that?
Well, if you're a the typical American, you're a native born American, you're an American citizen, you have really been left behind in the economy of the last 4 years. And you can actually compare the employment of native born Americans today to where it was before the pandemic. We have lost so much ground. That figure is down by a million. So there are a million fewer native born Americans employed. Well, where have all these jobs gone? Who is getting all of these jobs? It is all foreign-born workers. And a couple of estimates, including some by large financial firms, have pegged the figure at about two-thirds of all jobs created since February of 2020 have gone to not just the foreign-born, but illegal aliens specifically. And it, what was it? I think it was only a few weeks ago, right, Lisa, that Tyson Foods, I believe, announced that they were firing all of these Americans in order to hire foreigners. Now, in that case, presumably they're going to have working papers and whatnot, but it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, you are putting foreigners before Americans. I'm sorry, but we did not elect our representatives to go to DC to put other citizens of other countries before us. This is absolutely appalling.
And also, I would assume that, that'll be also reflected in the sentiment on the economy in the country, because if people aren't getting these jobs, then they're not feeling, you know, even if you say, oh, the X amount of job growth, Americans aren't feeling that because they're not getting those jobs.
Exactly, Lisa, that is such a great point. When you are polling likely voters and asking them, how do you feel about the economy? Well, if they're not the ones getting the jobs, what do you think is going to be the response? Obviously, it's going to be the case then that they are not happy with the economy because they're not the ones getting any of the benefits, but they're still the ones stuck paying the higher costs from your inflation, Mr. President.
What do you think are some of the big economic issues that don't get discussed enough, in your opinion?
Oh, goodness. I think one of the really big ones is the fact that the Treasury borrowing at the breakneck pace it is going to have some very catastrophic effects, not just in terms of inflation, but also in terms of financial markets. You can't underestimate, I think, just how much Janet Yellen is sucking all the air out of the room with these massive Treasury auctions. Shortly after we got those terrible inflation numbers for the CPI, the Treasury did a 10-year auction, meaning they were auctioning off these Treasury notes, which are going to be repaid in 10 years, and it was absolutely horrendous. And so what you are seeing is investors continuously demanding more and more in terms of compensation to loan to the government because they have zero confidence that they are going to get back dollars that are worth much. And as that continues happening, the Treasury is forced to offer higher and higher interest rates, which will pull in more investors, but you are pulling investors out of other investments. So right before, for example, we had the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and others, what was going on with Treasuries? A very similar phenomenon. And the effects, I think, this time are going to be very similar too. As you suck all of this liquidity out of locations where it's currently being used and is currently needed, you're going to have some very disastrous effects on financial markets.
And of course, the spending doesn't look to be, you know, slowing down at all. You know, I think his budget, it looks like, I think there's like a $7.3 trillion budget request proposal for fiscal year 2025. I guess, what does that mean for the future of the country?
More of the same. I wish it was something other than that, Lisa, but this point you bring up is so important. The size of government spending is what's driving this. You know, the government, as much as they can create money out of thin air, they can't create value out of thin air. And so as they continue to expend more and more in terms of value, that value has to come from somewhere. It is coming out of your hide right now through the hidden tax of inflation, but it's also coming out of future production, future output, which means it's going to be paid for by future generations. We are basically shackling ourselves with unpayable levels of debt. I mean, this is getting, you know, genuinely scary. And I'm not a perma bear. I'm not one of those people who for the last, you know, 10 or 20 years has been saying, oh, the end is near, we're spending too much money. You know, no, this is a big economy and it can support a whole hell of a lot of government spending, but not at these levels. I mean, we are to the point now where if you look at mandatory government spending, and then let's also throw in interest on the debt, since that's effectively mandatory spending as well, no discretionary spending. So I'm not even including major categories like defense here. We're just talking about the spending that is essentially baked into the cake, if you will. That already exceeds all government tax revenue. In other words, we have a deficit to begin with, and all of the additional spending that they want to pile on with these ridiculous $7 trillion budgets, it is just adding fuel on the fire.
We're being told that the odds of a U.S. recession have dropped a little bit. I think I read somewhere that it's dropped to 33%, they're saying, or the strong economic data has cut the chance of an economic downturn in the next year to 33%, according to Bankrate. Do you buy that? You know, how close to a recession are we? You know, what kind of do you think the next few months are going to look like for the economy?
It's a really good question. I think one of the things that's important to remember, Lisa, is that you can put off a technical recession for a really, really long time if you're willing to have the government and the consumer alike go into massive amounts of debt in order to keep up spending levels. Well, that's pretty much what we've been seeing for quite a while now. We're seeing household debt explode. The national debt, obviously, is exploding. It's over $34.6 trillion. We have never had mortgage debt, credit card debt, et cetera, at the levels we have them today, despite the fact that interest rates, again, have marched pretty steadily higher. And so what's happening is, as you continue to borrow from the future, you are continuing to draw that spending and that production into today, but eventually it's all got to get paid for. And the problem is that the further you kick this can down the road, the worse the eventual drop becomes. That's one of the reasons why, for example, when Alan Greenspan continuously kept rates artificially low in the early 2000s, the housing collapse and the global financial crisis were as bad as they were in 2007, 8, and 9, because they kept kicking the can down the road instead of allowing the free market to resolve these problems. They kept putting it off. And every time they did, it snowballed a little bit more and more. And sadly, that's what's happening today.
How much change could happen in 4 years under Trump if he wins?
I think a lot, for a couple of reasons. One is that I think he is so incredibly angry, and rightfully so, right? We're talking about a righteous anger here at all of the bad actors in the bureaucracy, the so-called deep state, who did so much to undermine him and destroy him, both personally and professionally, as well as politically, obviously. I think he is so angry at those people. He will do everything to destroy the bureaucracy, which is a huge part of not revenge, but of actually righting the ship here and getting us back onto a path to prosperity. But I think the president, you know, the former president is also a little wiser today. I think he has learned who in Congress he can, and more importantly, who he cannot trust. He was promised, let's not forget, by Republicans in Congress that, look, Mr. President, if we just pass this one really big budget, we promise to deliver all the spending cuts you want the next go around. And he went along with it. And then the next go around came and Republicans in Congress refused to uphold their end of the bargain. And then the next year, Nancy Pelosi was in charge in the House. So at that point, it didn't even matter. But I think the president, both in terms of the House and also the Senate, he has a better feel for, again, who he can and who he can't trust. And I think that's going to be invaluable in terms of getting that spending down.
You know, fingers crossed from your lips to God's ears. So, EJ, is there anything else you'd like to leave us with before we go?
You know, I think one of the things that, just echoing something we said earlier, Lisa, this idea that to the American people, the message is, look, you are not crazy. Don't believe all of these headlines that keep telling you, look, things aren't that bad. It's fine. I was debating someone earlier today, actually, who was saying that, oh, you know, these latest inflation rates, they are way down from where they were in 2022. So we should be grateful. Grateful? Are you kidding me? Prices right now are rising at such a pace that prices will double in 15 and a half years. I should be grateful for that. A baby born today, by the even before they're old enough to vote, prices will have doubled in their lifetime. That's appalling. And anyone who tries telling you that's acceptable is a liar. And any bureaucrat who thinks that's okay needs to resign immediately.
EJ with the Heritage Foundation, appreciate you taking the time. Before we go, where can people follow your work?
Best place to find me is going to be on X or Twitter, whatever we call it these days. And the handle there is @RealEJAntoni.
Awesome, EJ. Appreciate you taking the time. Always good to have you on.
Lisa, it's my pleasure. Thank you again for having me.
That was EJ Antoni with the Heritage Foundation. Appreciate him for making the time every Monday and Thursday, but you can listen throughout the week. I want to thank John Cassio, my producer, for putting the show together. Until next time.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Justin Richmond, host of the Broken Record Podcast. Join me along with co-host Leah Rose as we sit down with the artists you love to get unparalleled creative insight. You'll hear revealing interviews with some of the most legendary figures in music like Paul Simon, Usher, Pete Townsend, Damon Albarn of the Gorillaz, and Missy Elliott. And you'll hear from up-and-comers like jazz artist Leve, who told me about her fast rise to fame during the pandemic. Listen to Broken Record on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.